In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second Sunday of our Lenten season by tradition is referred to as Transfiguration Sunday because of the Gospel from St. Matthew. The Lord is transfigured in the presence of Peter, James, and his brother John, there to provide testimony when all of this becomes and is made manifest. Also by tradition, several of the early church fathers speak about this particular passage being given to us on the second Sunday of the Lenten season to precisely remind us of the need to continue to journey with the Lord, precisely because that which happens to Christ will likewise happen to us if we can remain faithful and steadfast. The Lord is transfigured in their midst. The Lord most especially is referred to as the beloved Son, and indeed he is, precisely because he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, Moses and the prophet Elijah there with him. He is the fulfillment of all the promises that God has made to his people, in order that in truth that which God had promised would indeed come to pass. But there is another aspect to this passage that is significant for us, and I think oftentimes overshadowed, that the transfiguration is a passive activity. The Lord is transfigured, not something he does to himself, but that which is done to him. He is given this particular privilege. It is indeed bestowed upon him precisely because he is the beloved Son, obedient to the will and the work of the Father. It is for that reason, in that obedience that is born in a relationship of love, that the Lord then can give to his Son this great honor of being made manifest to his disciples. We oftentimes think about scripture passages in terms of how they relate to us, and in one sense that is a natural thing to do. And so, yes, we take comfort from the fact that the Lenten disciplines that we have undertaken, we have done so precisely that we can share in the glory that belongs to our Lord. But before we can share in that glory, we have to be exactly like our Lord, which means, brothers and sisters, specifically in our obedience to the things of God, if we want to be beloved sons and daughters, it requires an obedience and a fidelity from us. In season and out of season. Something, yes, begun in the Lenten season, but continues even far beyond the Lenten season. We think about our disciplines and our sacrifices only in terms of leading us to Easter. And then somehow when Easter comes, we have been set free from the life of discipline and the mystery of the cross. But nothing can be further from the truth. I remain more and more amazed at the unwillingness of modern men. And let me be even more specific, the unwillingness of Catholic men and women. And let me be even more specific, the willingness of even some of my own congregation to bear the cross. We treat the cross as if it is a secondary reality to the life of faith, something to be endured and then pushed aside, and not central to the unfolding of the Christian dispensation. Life is difficult and hard, and at the heart of it is the cross of our Lord. And I'm not quite sure why you or I think that somehow we should be dispensed from that suffering. Yes, it's good for everybody else. It's great for the Lord, but it certainly doesn't apply to me. Well, then so be it. If it doesn't apply to you, then this place is not for you. Certainly that rail is not for you. And then you won't actually be a beloved child of God. Not because I say so or declare it so, but because at the heart of following Christ is the mystery of the cross. If I want to be a follower of the Lord, and I want to be raised to that dignity that has been given to me in baptism, that I must embrace my crosses daily and follow after our Lord. And it will be difficult. And it will demand something from me. And I will have to change my life. And I will have to forego comfort and ease and being well thought of by society and culture. There are so many things that I will lose. But don't they pale in comparison to the dignity of being a child of God? I ask that rhetorically, but is that not at the essence of who we are and what it is that we want to be? I want to be God's child in this life in order that I might enjoy everlasting life. And so, yes, I'm grateful that on this second Sunday of the Lenten season, I'm given a glimpse of what it is that might lie at the end of this process for me if I can remain steadfast. But I also need to simply take a step back, and not in the fear of Peter, James, and John, who put their heads to the ground because they don't understand what it is that is happening. Instead, I look God face to face because God looks at me. God calls me his child. God gives us his own child precisely for that fact. And in that intimate union into which I have been drawn, into which you have been drawn, I resolve now to pick up my crosses and carry them with joy and peace and confidence, knowing that in each and every single moment that I die with the Lord is a moment for me to live with the Lord. My brothers and sisters, the world in which we live, which I speak about oftentimes, is a crazy, confounding, and confusing place. The older I get, the less sense it makes to me, and I had somehow thought with age came wisdom, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And so what do we do with all of this, and how do we navigate all of this? Well, the simple fact is, we look at the Lord. We keep our sights, our face on the Lord. And in doing so, we recognize and accept that at times there will be sufferings and heartaches and sorrows that attend to following after the Lord. Don't be afraid of those. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed by them. Don't seek to rush through them and put them to the side. Instead, count yourself worthy that you've been called able to suffer in the name of the Lord. What greater dignity could we possibly ask for? What greater gifts could we possibly imagine? What greater treasures could we have in this life than to be a child of God, to suffer well with the Lord, and receive from him that 110 and 50-fold blessing that he wants to bestow upon us? And so begin again, if you need to begin again, this second Sunday of our Lenten journey. Continue strong if you have begun strong and you have done good with God. Continue to do well with God. If you're not quite sure where you are, don't spend an inordinate amount of time trying to figure it out. Just simply get yourself back on track. Follow after the Lord. Do whatever it is that he commands you to do. And know that at the end of that, whether it be your Lenten journey, or more importantly, the end of your life, the goal is to be a beloved son or daughter and enjoy the fruits of everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.